Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
Hallelujah! Glory to God! Oh, I'm just so excited about today because it's the beginning of what Jesus came to do. Amen? You know, today was Palm Sunday, and you're thinking, you know, I know that term is not familiar with a lot of people. So, you know, if you're thinking, does it have anything to do with a palm branch? It has everything to do with a palm branch. That's what they were talking about, is that this is when Jesus, this is the Sunday before Jesus was crucified on that Friday. And so just to get a time frame, so the Sunday before Good Friday, which how many know Good Friday's coming up? And then 3 days later, what do we have? Easter. Say it with me. Easter, or Resurrection Sunday, we could say. And so when Jesus is coming into the city, they know who he is, and they're crying out, Hosanna, Hosanna, which is Hebrew for save me, redeem me. And you know what? That's exactly what he did. He saved us. That's what Jesus did. But we're going to start here. We're just going to look over in Mark chapter 11. Go ahead and turn there, and we're going to see what happens on Palm Sunday, why it's so important. This begins one of the greatest weeks in all of history, in all of history. But before we get into the Word, how many want to give something away first? Everybody's like, let's see who wins first, right? Isn't God good? We got a lot going on here at BVC. We're excited about what God is doing. How many think Pastor Norm did a great job today? Now, some of you may never have seen Pastor Norm on the stage singing before, but for lots of us, that's how we always remember him, because he did praise and worship for so long. Ben is on vacation today, and he gets a vacation too. We joke around that he's Captain America, Superman, all that stuff, but he needs a vacation as well, right? So we started doing our giveaway last week in first service too. We let you guys in on a secret that we'd been doing a giveaway in second service for, I don't even want to tell you how long, a while. And we felt like it really wasn't fair that we weren't doing it in all three services since we launched our third service last week, and so now we do it in all services. So doesn't that sound great?
Yes.
All right, so here we go. First of all, does everybody have a ticket? That's okay. You'll be in next service. We'll take care of you. Yvonne, you got your ticket? All right, you got your ticket. Okay, here we go. Now, we do this just for fun. How many know church should be fun?
Amen.
Church should be fun. Sometimes you go to churches and people say, all they want is my money. You ever hear that before? Yeah. You can't say that about here because we give you something here. Amen? Yeah. Here we go. Big winner, winner. Oh, let's see. First service people get to pick what they want because you're early birds. We got everybody today. We got Red Lobster, Olive Garden, Longhorn, Yard House, Seasons 52, Chili's, Macaroni Grill, On the Border, and Outback. I think that's all the good ones. Yeah. Right there. Here we go. 5586. I take it yours isn't a winner, Maddie. 558676. Woo, right there. Christina, what are you hungry for today? We'll let Joe pick.
Yep.
Outback. Good choice. You know, not to drop any hints, but I haven't been to Outback in a really long time. Just info you might find, you know, that you need. I'm just kidding. All right, who's ready for the Word now? We all know what's for lunch at the Vedina House, so now we're ready for the Word. Turn over to Mark chapter 11. This is, I know I say this all the time, this is really one of my faves right here, because I love young people, and years ago I preached a message out of Mark 11 about how God wants to use young people, amen? So if you weren't here for that, should have been here. Here we go, Mark chapter 11, verse number 1. I'm reading out the New Living Translation because I really like this translation for this. And it says, as Jesus and his disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the towns of Bethpage and Bethany on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them on ahead, and he said, go into that village over there, he told them. As soon as you enter it, you will see a young donkey tied there that no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. Verse number 3. If anyone asks, what are you doing? Just say, the Lord needs it and will return it soon. Now let's just stop there. I just want to give just everybody, don't try this at Walmart. Don't try. I don't want you calling me and saying, Pastor Peggy, I just told him I needed that TV. No. This is a supernatural experience, all right? So, but the Lord said, if they say, what are you doing? Just say, the Lord needs it and will return it soon. The two disciples left and found the colt standing in the streets, tied outside the front door. As they were untying it, some bystanders demanded, what are you doing untying that colt? They said what Jesus had told them to say, and they were permitted to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their garments over it, and he sat on it. And this fulfilled a prophecy that was spoken in Isaiah of how Jesus would enter in. Many in the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him, and others spread leafy branches they had cut in the fields. Jesus was in the center of the procession, and the people all around him were shouting, praise God, blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessings on the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Praise God in highest heaven. And then verse number 11 says, so Jesus went to Jerusalem and went into the temple. And so we see here, this is the beginning of what a lot of people call Holy Week. Anybody ever hear that expression? This is the beginning of Holy Week. And how many of us have seen the movie, The Son of God? Anybody see the movie? The rest of you guys need to rent that. Get it on DVD or whatever. But what happens is Jesus is going to Jerusalem and it's Passover. And this is the biggest event in Jerusalem. All the Jews have come from all over to celebrate Passover. The city was going to be overrun. It would be like us at the height of tourism times 100. That many people, like, can you imagine, would be right here in the city, and they're all here for one purpose. They're all here to celebrate Passover. And so what Passover is, it's when the Jews would celebrate that they were freed from living under bondage and slavery under Pharaoh. How many have seen that, right? Everybody say, let my people go, right? See that movie? You can learn a lot from good movies. Let my people go. And so we know that God delivered the children of Israel out of captivity, out of Egypt, out of slavery. And we know all of what happened there. We've seen the movie. And so then every year the Jews would celebrate how good God was. They would celebrate that they had been delivered. And so how many can see this is a big deal? But here Jesus is coming, and he's about to change everything. And that's what Jesus does. When you read, if you're here today and you're like, you know, I don't really know much about Jesus, here's what you should do. Read the Gospels. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And you're going to be following Jesus when he was here on the earth. Instead of hearing from other people and what maybe your grandma told you, how about you find out for yourself what Jesus did when he was here? Amen? How about we look and follow him? Isn't that how we want people to get to know us? Aren't you glad people don't just take everything that somebody who doesn't like you, they don't say, well, that's how you are. I don't care what you say. I don't care what happened. I don't care about the facts because this is what I heard. Doesn't that aggravate you when people do that? But boy, people do that to Jesus all the time. Instead of doing that, let's take the time to read and find out who Jesus is and what he did. Because you'll find that everywhere that Jesus went, he changed everything. He changed how they did things. He changed how they looked at things. He changed the people. You know, I love the story of Peter and John after they were talking with some people, and the people said this. They said, it is evident that they have been with Jesus. Because before, it says they were uneducated and untrained. But now, they were saying things that were like, wow. It was evident that they had been with Jesus. Why? Because when Jesus gets on the scene, he changes things. And that's exactly what was getting ready to happen. Jesus rode into town, and all the people were just, not all the people, but most of the people, they recognized him at that time as the Messiah, the one who was promised, the one who would save them. That's what Hosanna means. It means save us. It is a reverent form of worship. They're saying, Hosanna, you're the one who can save us. But here's what happened. Jesus didn't do it. Because how many know the story changes? Because we know from the movies and from the Bible that it went from them getting so excited, they were so excited to see Jesus, they recognized who he was, they knew he was the Messiah, that when he came, they spread apart on the street, and they took their garments off, and they threw them on the ground for him to walk in, and they grabbed, here we go, you ready? Palm fronds! Voila, Palm Sunday! And what did they do? They put them on the road, so that the donkey that he was riding on, they cherished who he was so much that they were giving him, in their time, a red carpet treatment. They were saying, you are so special, and you are who you say you are. You are the Messiah. You're the one who's come to save us. You are so important. You are so incredible. We don't even want the donkey you're riding on. We don't want its feet to touch the ground because of who's on it. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
I mean, can you imagine having such reverence for someone that you see them coming and you take your jacket off and throw it on the ground for them so that they can be honored? That is Palm Sunday.
Yes.
It is a day that people celebrated who Jesus was, who they believed he was, and what they believed he came to do. Hosanna, save us. But yet, we know from history, we know from the Bible, that just a couple days later, those same people, say same people.
Same people.
Those same people that are ripping off their jackets and cutting down the palm fronds and throwing them out, those same people are saying, give us Barabbas. They're saying, crucify him. They're saying, we don't know him. I don't even know who he is. What, me? No, I have no idea. They're acting like they don't know who he is. What changed? What happened? You ever had somebody turn on you? You're in good company. Because a whole crowd turned on Jesus. They were so excited. The Bible tells us over here, and people were so excited. Let's see, where's it at? In Luke chapter, I don't think I have this on the overhead, so forgive me, Thomas. Luke chapter 19. Hold on now, I don't have this in my notes, so hold on. Oh, where is it? Oh, here it is. Verse number 40. They were so excited, and in 38, this is just another version of what we just read. It says, blessings on the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in highest heaven. Verse number 39, Luke chapter 19, verse number 39. But some of the Pharisees among the crowd said, Teacher, rebuke your followers for saying things like that. He replied, If they keep quiet, the stones along the road would burst into cheers. The people were so excited, and they were making so much noise. One translation says, Teacher, tell your followers to quiet down. They were so loud and so excited because Jesus was coming. Jesus was there, that the Pharisees, who didn't really like Jesus in the first place, even they looked at him and said, hey, tell those guys to quiet down. And Jesus said, if they don't cry out, the rocks will cry out. If they don't do it, the rocks are going to. You know what Jesus is saying? It doesn't matter what you say. I am who I say I am, and the earth will rejoice if you won't.
Amen.
But here's what we're saying. So then everything changed. You ever have in your life where everything just changes? Sometimes things change. It's not always bad. Change is not always a bad thing. Sometimes change has to happen for the plan of God to come to pass. The plan of God was for Jesus to go to the cross. The plan of God, the Bible says, he was like a lamb led to slaughter. That was the plan of God. The plan of God was for Jesus to be crucified. And so before he could be crucified, the hearts of the people had to change. And so, you know, sometimes things change, and maybe somebody all of a sudden doesn't like you. And you know what? Sometimes that can break our hearts and make us all upset. But sometimes it's just that person just needs to be out of your life. You know, sometimes we fight so hard to keep people in our lives that don't even belong there. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Sometimes wisdom is just to let the change happen. Let the change happen. And so the people, their hearts have changed. Now these same people that again were laying the palm fronds and singing Hosanna, save us. Now their hearts have changed and they're saying, no, we don't know him. But here's what happened. Jesus didn't do it the way they wanted him to do it. The people thought that Jesus was going to come into Jerusalem and he was going to be in control. He was going to take over the temple. He was going to take over. He was going to be the high priest. They expected Jesus to do it naturally, the way that they had always seen it done before. They were thinking that Jesus was going to come in and that he was going to save them by being in charge, by being like the president is how we would look at it. But you know what? Jesus didn't do it the way they wanted him to do it, and they turned on him. And this morning, as we get ready to enter into Holy Week, I want all of us to purpose in our hearts to not be like that. God doesn't do things the way you want them done all the time. How many know that's true? God doesn't do it the way you want it done. Sometimes you're like, Lord, change that person right now in Jesus' name. Right? And they were like, what happened? But you know what? The Lord's saying, hey, change you first. Change you first. You know, in marriage, so often, you know, we hear ourselves praying. We're like, oh, Lord, change my husband. Change my husband. And you know, Lord, straighten him out in the name of Jesus. Right? Anybody ever say those prayers? But really, you know what? The best thing you can do to help your marriage and help you is bow your head and say, Lord, change me. Lord, straighten me out. Help me. Help me. God doesn't do things the way we expect him to do. Or they wanted it done naturally. They wanted it done the way they'd always seen it done before. But Jesus came and had a whole nother plan. Jesus came and he didn't take over the temple. He didn't become the high priest. He didn't go in and preach like everybody else. He went around the villages. He didn't bark about the law anymore. He was healing people on the Sabbath. He was helping people when they brought the lady caught in the very act. I like how the Bible says that. In the very act of adultery. When they brought her to him, all the people were like, handle it like we always have handled it before. But aren't you glad that Jesus doesn't handle things the way it was always handled before? When everybody else is picking up a rock to stone that woman, Jesus started writing in the sand.
That's right.
He changed how things were done, and he wants to change you. And it all began when Jesus came. It all began at Christmas. But that Holy Week, that started off something that will never be stopped, a move of God. Jesus came to save us. Not like sometimes we think. We think God will save us by cleaning us up, by making us look better. But God doesn't do it that way. He cleans us from the inside out. God came to change how everything was done. And when Jesus was walking on that road for Palm Sunday, he was saying, listen, things are going to be different. Things are going to be different. Let's keep going here. You guys ready? Turn over to, let's see. This is a time of celebration. Turn over to Matthew chapter 20. I apologize. I do not have this on my screen up here. I'm sorry, Thomas. But the Lord's just moving us a different direction. Matthew chapter 20. Let's look at how Jesus is different. Here we go. Matthew chapter 20. Let's look at verse number 28. Say this with me. Say, Jesus came to do things different. I don't know about you, but I'm glad about that.
Amen.
I'm glad about that. Here we go. In Matthew chapter 20, verse number 28, it says, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, and to give his life as a ransom for many. That's what Jesus came to do. So often we think that Jesus came to just point out our wrongs, point out our shortcomings, If that's all Jesus came to do, he would have just let the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and all those C's, he would have just let them keep doing what they were doing. Because that's what they did. They pointed out where you didn't measure up. But Jesus didn't come for that. He came to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. Let's keep reading. Verse number 29. Let's just see the Jesus that came to save us. It says, as Jesus and the disciples left the town of Jericho, a large crowd followed behind. Two blind men were sitting beside the road. When they heard that Jesus was coming that way, they began shouting, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. Verse number 31, be quiet, the crowd yelled at them. But they only shouted louder, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. Verse number 32, when Jesus heard them, he stopped and called, what do you want me to do for you? Oh, that's so good. You need to underline that in your Bible. What did Jesus come to do? Why did he start on that road? Why did Jesus come in the first place? He came to have mercy on you. Isn't that what these two blind men were crying out for? They were saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. You know what the word mercy means? If you know me, you know what the word mercy means. It means to get what you need, not what you deserve. The Pharisees and the Sadducees and religion of that day was all about what you deserved. It was all about what you did to measure up. But Jesus came to change things. Jesus came to set it differently. Jesus came to save us. Not just to point at us, but to save us. He came to serve us, to be a ransom for us. And here, this is a perfect example. And when those blind men were crying out, and he turns around and he says, what do you want from me? What do you want from Jesus this morning? If Jesus was coming in here on a donkey, would you be one of the ones saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, save me, rescue me, redeem me? Because that's exactly what Jesus wants to do. You don't have to earn it. Those days are over. Say those days are over.
Those days are over.
You ever look at something and it's just so old and so old-fashioned and so not the way we do things anymore? You just want to look at it and be like, man, those days are over. You know, if we saw somebody walking around with a gigantic cell phone, remember how big they used to be?
Yeah.
You know, they were like giant bricks, right? And then, like, when they first came out, they were connected to a briefcase with a cord, right? I mean, if we saw somebody walking around with that, what would we? We'd look at them and be like, hello? Those days are over. But you know what? When we see people walking around with guilt and shame and condemnation and thinking that Jesus is a pointer and not a healer, we need to look at them and say, listen, those days are over.
That's right.
Those days are over. It all started Palm Sunday when Jesus came in, and he came in different than any other ruler had ever come in. He came in on a donkey. That's just weird. Nobody did that. But you know what? That's Jesus. He did things that nobody else did because he wanted to scream to the world, what you have known before is over. A brand new way is here. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the way to the Father. No one comes through me, through him, except through Jesus. And so when we see all the religion of the world, which is still here, you know what? There's still Pharisees. There's still people that are more concerned about the rules than the relationship. There are still Sadducees. You know what a Sadducee was? A Sadducee was somebody who could not accept anything supernatural. If they couldn't control it, they didn't want anything, any part of it. And that's one of the reasons that Cephas, who was the high priest, he was a Sadducee. And when Jesus... When Lazarus was resurrected, it freaked them out. And they wanted to kill Jesus even the more. But you know what? God wants to do things different. He wants to do some supernatural stuff in your life. He wants to show you that 2 plus 2 equals 4, sure, but when you put God in it, that could change.
Yeah.
Amen. Because he's supernatural. He wants to do things different. He wants us to look at our lives and say, you know what? Those days are over. Jesus has come. Instead of complaining, I'm going to start saying, Hosanna. Amen. The King of Kings is here. The Lord of Lords. Let's not change our story. Let's not be like these guys and change our story. Let's hold on to Palm Sunday all week, every day, from now on. Let's celebrate and remember that the King of Kings is here. He's Jesus. When they ask you, when people say, man, what's going on with you? You're not like you used to be. Let's look at him and say, just like when they ask, they say, who's that? We say, it's Jesus. Jesus has changed me. I used to be sad. I used to be broke. I used to have no direction. But God changed me. And when people ask, you know what I say? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. And that's exactly what happened on Palm Sunday. Everybody's like, why are you so excited? Who is that? It's Jesus. Jesus came for you. He came for me. And he came to change everything. But just like those blind men, verse number 32, what do you want me to do for you? God's asking you that this morning. He came to serve. And sometimes that's so like our religious mind can't accept that. We just want, oh, I'm only supposed to serve Jesus. Yes, we are to serve the Lord, but he came to serve us as well. He came to be a ransom for us. He came to change our life. He's asking this question. He's saying, what do you want me to do for you? Will you be bold like these blind men and cry out even louder? Lord, they said, we want to see. Jesus felt sorry for them and touched their eyes, and instantly they could see. Then they followed him. God's asking this morning, Jesus has come. Palm Sunday has happened. Resurrection Sunday has happened. He's already rose again. The Bible said he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. And you know what he's doing? He's making intercession for you and for me. He's still serving us. And some of you are like, whoa, hold on, that's Jesus. Yes, it is Jesus. But that's what he came to do. He came to be my Savior. He came to be my Redeemer. He came to be my Restorer. He came to be my Healer. He came to be different. Those days of religion, we need to look at them and say, those days are over. Those days of not feeling good enough, those days are over. Jesus makes me good enough. Those days of being defeated, those days are over.
Amen.
The King of Kings lives on the inside of me. I'm an overcomer, the Bible says.
Yes.
We need to look at some stuff and say, you know what? Those days are over. Throw a palm tree, palm frond over it and say, you know what? The King of Kings stands here now. Those days are over. You know, there's some things in our lives that we really just need to look at and say, you know what? I'm over that. I'm over that. There are some people in our lives that keep trying to pull you back down to where they are, pull you back down into a natural life. I don't want a natural life. I don't want to live on my own strength. I don't want to live with just what I got. I don't want that. I want a supernatural life where the power of God is in me, on me, helps me, and strengthens me. That's my life. But you know what? There's always somebody who says, quiet down. Quiet down. And sometimes we need to look at those people and say, you know what? Those days are over.
Come on now.
And I'm over you.
Yes.
Wow. I'm over you. We're not talking about saying that to your spouse now. You're stuck with them. You need to pray for them. But you know what? There's always people in your life to try to pull you back to where you were. There's always people like that. Try to pull you back to where you were. You know why? Because they want company. They want company. And we got to look at some things in our life and just say, you know what? Those days are over. My King has come. My King has come. And I'm going to be like those two blind men. I'm going to follow him.
Amen.
How about you?
Yes.
Let's follow Jesus. Because he's going to take us where we really want
yes.
to go. He's going to. It may look different. But it is what we need. Everything God does is always different.
Yes.
You ever look back and you think like, man, God worked that out. I never would have thought it. He used people. He used things. He just did it. I would have never been able to figure that out on my own. Anybody have a situation like that? I would never be able to figure it. That's called supernatural power of God. If you could figure it out, you could do it.
That's right.
I want my life to be bigger than me. How about you?
Yes.
I'm going to be like these two blind guys. And I'm going to say, Lord, I got some stuff I need you to do. I'm going to follow you.
Yes.
Let's pray together. Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I know that there's things in our lives that Lord, just don't measure up to what you have for us. And Lord, you came to show us that the days of religion, those days were over, that a new time had come, a time of relationship with God. A time where you said that you would be our friend, that you would walk with us, that you loved us so much that you would dwell on the inside of us. Lord, we welcome a relationship with you. And so help us to recognize where any wrong or old-fashioned thinking has snuck in. That thinking that says that we're not good enough to talk to you, that we're not worthy enough to pray, that we're not whatever enough to be yours. Lord, help us know that you make us enough for a relationship with you, that your word says that you have qualified us. Doesn't matter where we've been or what we've done, your mercy, your love and your grace raise us up to where you are. And we're so thankful for that. With every head bowed and every eye closed just for a moment, maybe you're here today and you're like, you know what? I walked in here with a head full of religion, thinking I wasn't good enough for God or God wouldn't help me because of this, this, and that. But I recognize today is Palm Sunday, the day that Jesus came in and said, things are going to be different. There's mercy for you today. There's what you need and not what you deserve. You need God's love. You need His forgiveness. You need His grace. You need His power. You need His salvation. And you probably don't feel like you deserve it, but none of us do. That's why there's mercy. God loves you this morning. He's not interested in where you've been or what you've done. He's interested in you turning your heart to Him and saying, yes, Lord, I'll follow you. If you're here today and you say, Peggy, I want to do that this morning. I want to follow Jesus. I want to make room for Him in my life. I want to give Him all of me for all of Him. With nobody looking around, just for a second. If that's you and you say, I want to be like those two blind guys, I want to follow Him. Just raise your hand up big and tall and say, that's me. I see your hands down here. Anybody else? That's me. I see your hand. Anybody else? I want to follow Jesus. I'm tired of it being the way that it is. I want it to be different. And I know that I need God. Anybody else before we move on? Oh, thank you, Lord. For the four people who raised their hand, let's just all say this prayer with them. Because we're in it with them. We're all family. And so let's say it with them. Amen? Let's say it like we mean it. Let's say it like we'd want somebody to say it with us. Right? Let's say, Father God, this morning on Palm Sunday, I cry out, Hosanna, save me. And I know that you did when you died on the cross for me. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. He died for me. He rose again. He saved me. He forgave me. He redeemed me. He restored me. He is everything I need. I will follow Him. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I tell you what, if you make a decision to follow Jesus, doesn't mean it's easy. How many say amen to that? Doesn't mean it's easy, but it means everything you need you're going to receive. You're going to have the peace that passes understanding. You're going to have a knowing on the inside of you that no matter what, God is for you, not against you. Amen? That no matter what mountain or what obstacle is ahead of you, you're going to know that you know that with Him, you're going to get through it. There's nothing like that. There is nothing like the peace of God. There is nothing like walking with Jesus. It is different than anything you've ever experienced. And that's exactly what Jesus had in mind. He came to be different. He came to show us a new way, a way of love and mercy, compassion. That's how God feels about you. And so I'm just so excited that you guys raised your hand and that you said that prayer. So when we leave service today, please don't walk out of here without coming up and praying with me or Pastors Angel, Steve, or Norm. Come up, let us pray with you and say welcome to the family. Amen? Amen. All right. Well, how many are excited about this week?
Yes.
Now listen, I want to encourage you. This is a holy week. So this week, spend some time with God, more time than you normally do. Set some time aside and celebrate the King of Kings. Amen? Set some time aside to let people know, who is this? And you can tell them, this is Jesus. Set some time aside to invite somebody to church. You know, people want to go to church on Easter. It just feels like something you should do, right? But a lot of times people don't have a church to go to. Or they're nervous. How many don't like walking to church for the first time by yourself, right? You just feel like everybody's looking at you, right? It's a whole lot easier to walk in with somebody who's already been there or knowing somebody's saving a seat for you. So this week at work or maybe wherever you're at, invite somebody and let them know, hey, I'll save a seat for you. I'll meet you there. I'll walk in with you. Make things a little easier on people. And you know what? They may see for the first time that Jesus came to do things differently. Just feel bad and don't wear makeup and don't wear pants and cut your hair and do this. Oh, you got a tattoo. You're on your way to hell. You know, I mean, unfortunately, that's what a lot of people think about God. How many know they need to know the real Jesus? Amen? Amen. The one who says, I don't care what's on the outside of your body. I care what's on the inside. That's what God is interested in outside stuff. God is interested in inside stuff because He knows when inside stuff changes, everything changes. And so let this be the week that you just recognize it as a holy week. This is a holy week. Let God use you this week. You could change someone's life. How many know somebody that needs help?
Yes.
They're hurting. Life isn't what they expected it was going to be. They're not going in the direction that they thought they'd be going in. Stuff just isn't working out. You know what? They need Jesus. And you are the Jesus they're going to see.
Right.
So invite somebody to church this week. Just purpose in your heart. Say, Lord, I know there's people in my life that need the truth about God. I know there's people in my life like that. Lord, help me to recognize who you're going to use me to invite to church. Because God wants to use you this week, right? All right. Well, we're going to receive our offering. What do we say here at BBC? We say we give because we
want to,
not because we have to. God's our source. If you want to give today, that's fantastic. If you don't, we still love you, care about you, and we'll pray for you. Amen?